I'm Stephen John Drew from the official GunnaGeek.com show, a weekly geek news podcast that is a part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other awesome geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And welcome to Play Comics, where nominally we look at video games based on comics and how well they represent that source material. But today, I just don't even care anymore. It's spooky season, and we've got Corey Freya here to talk about Dr. Crow stuff. Corey, how are you today?
You know what? I'm doing dandy, my friend. I'm doing just dandy.
I feel like I have to get this out right on the front. Dr. Crow is from the before times, isn't it?
The before times, yes. Before pandemic times, yes. He actually... The very first Dr. Crow story was, I think, like in 2015, and that's when we ran the Kickstarter. So, yeah, it's pre-pandemic, but he was prepared this entire time, I guess you'd say.
I knew that because Mike had sent me a giant pack of things from 215 before so that I could have things to get comic reviews made of that need to get around to happening. Yay for solo projects and not being able to pay people. But I wanted to make sure everybody knew that because... In here, you've got a character walking around in your good old-fashioned bubonic plague mask costume-inspired deal. And if they see this, I'm sure everybody, at least 80% of people, would think, yep, this is plague-inspired.
Well, I mean, if you look at him, he definitely is Plague Doctor-inspired. I remember when I first, dreamt up the idea of having this character... I came across this on the internet. There was this really cool painting that I can't remember the artist's name. They were foreign, Japanese. I can't remember. Sorry. I mean, I just can't remember the name, but they did a really just chilling rendition of this Plague Doctor. And I was like, man, what could I do with a Plague Doctor as a hero that's like going out there and battling things? So I kind of turned it up a bit and I put a call out for an artist, and I was lucky to find Matt Horak at the time. And we kind of conceptualized this idea of what Dr. Crow looks like today. He's kind of like this mixture of, he has a little bit of steampunk in him. He's got a little bit of like Batman, the animated series version going on. One of the original photos I sent to Matt as inspiration was like just a grouping of some, Final Fantasy characters. And he drew a lot from that as well. So that's kind of where his origin of his look comes from, and a lot of that is owed to Matt and help conceptualizing that and bringing him to life and just make him the badass looking character that he is today.
So what is your elevator pitch for Dr. Crow?
Dr. Crow, he travels. So imagine like Indiana Jones meets Hellboy, where he's traveling the globe. He's looking for, he's battling on supernatural terrors. He's going after, ancient relics, and he's just trying to do it all in the name of science. He's trying to protect people. He's just a hero, man. He's out there to do whatever he can to protect those that are in need.
See, I was probably getting some Constantine vibes in there too.
Yeah, I mean, Constantine is definitely one of my favorite characters. But he's, unlike Constantine, Dr. Crow while also intelligent, he's more, I guess, he's less rude. He's more, he's to the point. He's a little bit more elegant in his approach to things.
And probably just a touch less magic.
Yeah, he's dabbled in dealing with magic in stories, but he doesn't actually practice magic himself. That's a line he doesn't cross. He's more of a man of science, and so he does whatever science allows him to do. And if he crosses into the realm of magic, or dare I say black magic, then he's gone too far. And that's something I'd like to touch on in the future of Dr. Crow's story.
So since your dog has decided that it wants to be part of the episode now,
sure.
How long did it take you to slip your dog into the comic?
He was right from the get-go. I was like, I want him to be in there because actually there's two dogs barking right now. You can hear in the background because the mailman just pulled up. One is a Boston Terrier named Sonny, and one is a Weimaraner named Harvey. And I had actually written like a short comic featuring Sonny, so I felt bad that Harvey didn't have anything. And I was like, you know what? His breed Weimaraners are actually bred to hunt bears, believe it or not. I was like, what? That's cool. That's such a cool thing. I mean, they're smaller now and they're less vicious now and all that stuff than what they were initially. But I was like, I'm going to take that, introduce that into Dr. Crow, because a lot of people think that those breeds kind of look chilling. And that kind of fits the vibe. They actually have the nickname the ghost dog because they have those chilling yellow eyes and gray features. So he kind of just fit in there. And I want to do more of that with him, hopefully. And I'd take any chance to slip my dogs into any story.
Well, I'm not going to lie. The first thing I think about when I think of Weimaraners is Sesame Street and the ones that dress up like humans.
Yes. Everybody thinks that. I love those. Those are actually, that's like the dude who did that. Sorry, they're still going. The dude who did that, he was actually like a famous photographer that only photographed Weimaraners and stuff. It's really weird.
So one of the things that I really liked reading through the Dr. Crow issues that I have is that they are the like self-contained stories inside the issue.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's just a really good way to get into the character because I can hand somebody anything and they're good to go.
That's exactly why we did it that way. It's like, obviously, the initial run, there was 4 issues, but you could jump in at issue 3, you could jump in at issue 4, you could grab whatever you sent out a long box, pick it up, and just enjoy a single issue, a single story, whatever. That's why it's there. And I think that's part of the reason why he still remains, pretty approachable character, I guess, after all these years.
Is that just the nature of having to be a Kickstarter release type thing?
Honestly, it's hard to find somebody to pay properly and affordable an artist for an entire series that costs a lot of money and it dedicates a lot of their time. So what I was doing is obviously at the time, comics is not my day job or anything like that. It was what I did at night. So I was just kind of plugging away, paying artists and to do little stories here and there to kind of make that more of an affordable approach while also, that two-pronged approach where it is accessible to new readers. So it was done by design for sure.
How different was it for you pitching to multiple artists doing different stories in the issue versus other people that I've talked to where it's one artist for the whole thing?
Man, that's a good question. I've never been asked that before. Believe it or not, it was pretty easy. I mean, not saying that I'm like some big name, I can go grab any artist. I am most definitely not that kind of writer, and I most likely never will be. But what was cool about Dr. Crow is that Matt designed such a cool looking character that when I approached the artist, they wanted to draw him. Because of the aesthetic that we had. So Matt did the first story. People read that first story. They saw Matt's sketches of the character and like, heck yeah, I want to go, draw that character fighting off whatever, like hell demons or, some crazy monster with eyeballs all over its belly or something. So yeah, it was, they wanted to play in that world and that made it pretty cool.
I mean, looking specifically at the first issue, because that's the one that I have open on the screen right in front of me. The one person that you have consistently who is not you is Taylor Esposito on letters.
Yes.
What makes him so special that you got him to do the whole thing?
Man, Taylor is... He's like... I always referred to him on Twitter before as like the nicest guy in comics. He never says no to a challenge. As long as you don't rub him the wrong way and just, he has a set of rules that he likes to do with his lettering. And, if you follow those rules, not saying that he's like stricter than me, but he's more than likely going to continue to work for you. And fortunately, all those rules are is be a good person and be on time with your requests. So that really helps develop a working relationship from the get-go. But on top of that, Taylor is extremely talented. He's worked DC, Marvel. I mean, he's, you name a publisher, he's worked for him. And he's done their top books. I mean, this guy is a professional through and through, and he's just so accessible and trustworthy and respectful of the work that I'd be hard pressed to try to find somebody else that I'd want to work with as far as lettering is concerned. That guy is my go-to letterer, my ride or die, as the kids say.
And then going on to the other end of the spectrum, I'm assuming colorists are kind of the same as the artists, you know, like ask a few of them to do something, you're good. But even more so than that, in the last story here, you have one of the colorists just doing the first 5 pages and the last one doing 6. Well, one page, which was page 6.
Yeah, at the time, actually, when you read that story, Dr. Crow initially was conceptualized as a full-blown miniseries. So those very first 5 pages were the pitch pages. And then we had that 6th page that wasn't being used as a pitch, so we didn't have colors on it. And at the time, my buddy Doug Garbark, who's, you know, he's colored, again, for any major publisher, you name it, he's done it. At the time, he just didn't have any time to schedule, so we had to go find somebody else to fill in. And that's where that whole that difference is. But we feel that the fill-in colors did a really good job in, you know, matching what Doug said out back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, looking through it, I would not guess that it was a different colorist on there.
Mission accomplished, then. That's what we're going for.
So what made you bring this one to 215 Inc.?
If I'm going to be honest with you, and I think this is something that, you know, a lot of comic creators just need to hear, because it's sugar-coated and it's not really something that's discussed. Dr. Crow was pitched to several publishers, whether it was, you know, anybody. At the time, you know, we went to Dark Horse, Image, and it toiled away there in a little bit at what's their name? The New Jersey company. I don't remember them anymore. How do I not remember them? Anyways, whatever that publisher was. You tell I'm not happy. I kind of hold a little bit of grudge of those who said no to my baby. But 215 Inc. said yes. And they said yes within 20 minutes of my pitch. We were on board and we were ready to go. It was like a dream come true. They were excited as I was about this. And that just motivated me to hit the ground running and really develop this into something that could catch on and hopefully, you know, develop into a bigger story. So they saw that, and they saw the value not only in the work, but they saw the value in me as a person and me as a writer, and they wanted to invest in that, whereas nobody else wanted to. So when I saw that they believed in me, I was on board with 215 Inc., and here I am.
And just because my timeline remembering is horrible, that is while Mike was there?
Yes, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I mean, spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't listened to the episode Mike was on. Mike is a good human.
Yeah, he is, man. He really is. He's, and in these past, I will say, especially in this past few months, he's been really encouraging in getting me, you know, I'm not going to lie, for a while there, the comics, I wasn't that fired up about making books because I felt like Dr. Crow didn't get a fair shake. And some of my other things I pitched that people just weren't listening. They weren't picking up what I was putting down, sort of thing. It was kind of dejected. But in these past few months, Mike's kind of built my spirits back up. And I really appreciate that, not only from a publisher, but as a friend. He's been a really good guy.
Well, when Mike came over on Twitter and said, "Hey, Chris, you want to talk to Corey about Dr. Crow stuff?" My thoughts instantly, because I'm a very suspicious person, were Mike does not just want me to talk to Corey about some old comics that they made a while ago. There's something going on.
Yeah, there is a little something going on. That's because we've had this has been in the works for several years now, and this is a collected edition of Dr. Crow. That is Dr. Crow Volume 1. It collects the first 4 issues, and I guess the only 4 issues of Dr. Crow, and it includes the full crossover, indie comic crossover sensation with Merrick the Sensational Elephant Man and Dr. Crow called Birds of Prey. And it's going to be jam-packed full of new art and some new concept stuff and some really cool pinup art and things like that that hasn't been seen publicly. But I've had it in my back pocket for a couple years now, and I'm just really waiting to get it out there. So, yeah, that's available for pre-order now at your local comic book shop, or in Preview Magazine right now. You can pick up, and if you go to their, I think it's their Indie Spotlight, you can see my smiling face in there. I have a little interview there about Dr. Crow Volume 1. And coming up in October, there is a Kickstarter to get things funded, get things printed, and get a lot of cool, exclusive Dr. Crow themed stuff into fans' hands. Because believe it or not, through a freak Reddit thread, I kind of came across this weird cloud of I don't know, like cult Dr. Crow fans that I didn't know existed, and they've been clamoring for more stuff and more merchandise. So we're going to bring it to them.
Was that one of the what comics have ended that you wish hadn't ones, or what are your favorite indie comic ones?
That was actually, it was a, man, what was that? I think it was a thread that I had just posted. It was an Ask Reddit thread. That's what it was. It was like, what's one of your proudest accomplishments? And for me, it was, I said, hey, I was a published comic book writer that had books released across the globe. And that's something that I'm extremely proud about right now. I'm not arrogant about it, but I'm proud of that accomplishment, that not many people can say that. And I'm one of those people. So I dropped that in that thread, and eventually people say, wait, what book is it? Cause obviously I wasn't giving any personal details, and enough people were asking about it that I said Dr. Crow, and then it just caught fire and people knew who he was. It was so weird because I was like, who cares about this character that, I mean, I love him obviously, but who cares about a character that came out in 2015, 2017? No one cares about this guy. It was such a small release, but apparently there's these weird fans, not weird, I shouldn't say weird, I should say some hardcore Dr. Crow fans out there that found that thread and spread like wildfire, and they all came out in droves and told stories about how they discovered Dr. Crow through, whether they found him in a long box or in a convention or something like that, just picking up single issues. So it was really cool to hear that people still cared about that character, and that's where that all came from.
So what's the weirdest place that somebody has found Dr. Crow?
For me, it would probably be some probably a foreign country. I mean, he's been sold in some weird countries. Not weird. I shouldn't say weird. I should say distant countries. He's been sold in some distant countries. So that would be some unique place for me. One of the cool things for me was I a buddy of mine that I hadn't spoken to in years, since I was like a teenager. He just happened to be walking, saw a poster in a comic shop with Dr. Crow on it. And he just said, wait a minute, that's Fry. I know who that is. He called me. He's like, search me up on Facebook, found me. And, it's like, hey, what the heck? So that was a pretty unique one.
That's just cool. People randomly finding it like that. And it seems like more and more of the indie things like this are getting a nice little following. So what do I get backing this Kickstarter versus just buying it from my local comic store, besides the happy, warm feeling of helping out a good company and a good person making their stuff happen?
Well, we're still narrowing down the specifics, but we've talked about some exclusive stuff like possible t-shirts, possible foil cards. There's going to be opportunities to get commissions from Tony Grigori and also Matt Horak. So they're offering up their commissions in there. We're going to have Kickstarter exclusive covers. So we got all sorts of stuff we're cooking up.
I mean, we all know I'm a sucker and I'm going to get it on Kickstarter anyway. So.
Well, I hope you do. I mean, I might even, I still have some original pages that Tony drew, and I may throw one in there from the very first Dr. Crow story that was published. I may throw that in there as a big surprise. So we'll see. Let's wait and see.
You will know that it's me on Kickstarter because it's the one with my name. Because that makes sense.
Naturally.
So when are y'all looking to get this one launched?
We're looking at, I think it's going to be mid November. We're going to try to shoot for one of those, 2 to 3 week campaigns rather than full 30. So I'm thinking mid October. So later this month.
Which by the time this comes out will probably have been started, but definitely will not be over.
Good. That works then. All right. But if you're listening to this now and the Kickstarter is going, hopefully it's funded and you're just like on your way to helping us get to the multitudes of stretch goals because this thing is wildly popular and super successful. And I'm just swimming in my money, Kickstarter money, like Scrooge McDuck. How's that? Is that realistic? I don't know. I'm doubting it.
Well, besides the fact that I want to be swimming in my money like Scrooge McDuck, by that point, I don't know if you can have two Scrooge McDucks in the same universe.
There could be only one. It's like Highlander.
And then what about future stories? Because I have to assume that you guys aren't just bringing this to Kickstarter for, you know, shits and giggles and putting out something that came out a while ago.
All right. So I'll tell you. The collected edition of Dr. Crow is something I've always wanted to do. So I've always wanted to have, I enjoy having a trade in my hand. I enjoy having that full stories to flip through. That's something I've always wanted to do. So personally, I just want to own that. And I know others do too. So we're bringing that to the public. But that's not the only reason it's out there. Obviously, Dr. Crow is a character that lends himself to further adventures. And, you know, in 2021, a plague doctor could be a pretty successful guy these days, unfortunately. So if the reception to Dr. Crow, the Kickstarter for this collected edition is big, then maybe we'll get a chance to see Dr. Crow future stories coming out here in a little bit. But I'd be lying also if I told you that I didn't have my own headcanon of Dr. Crow and what he's done in the universe and other stories I want to tell and other places across the globe I'd like to see him go, because those are things that I didn't get to use in that original, four-issue mini that I would be just chomping at the bit to explore if I was ever awarded the chance to do so.
And which characters are you really looking forward to bringing back, besides Dr. Crow, because he kind of has to be there?
Yeah, I mean, he is the title character. I will say this about Dr. Crow. It's weird because he's a refined Englishman, and that is not anywhere close to what I am. So it really takes a while to get back into his mindset and writing his dialogue. Whereas his sidekick, Nora, she is more of, I don't know if anybody knows this, but I live in Kentucky, and Nora is based on she's kind of like she's kind of like a tomboy, cowboy, cowgirl, if you will. And so the way I write her is the way I would react in certain scenes is like she will speak at a turn. She'll challenge Dr. Crow's knowledge, but she's hard, level-headed, and she's probably the one I'm most excited to write for just because I'm able to inject my own voice alongside to be Dr. Crow's foil. So I'd love to do that. I like to see, some more stuff with Ajax, Dr. Crow's dog, obviously, based on my dog, Harvey. And there is I originally conceptualized this old love interest of Dr. Crow's that I'd love to bring back, or I guess reveal in a story and explore that as well.
How long of a comeback run do you think you have sitting in your head?
Man, that is a good question. As long as the stories are there and people were willing to read them and people, I was given the chance to, to make them, then I could write Dr. Crow until the day I die, to be honest. I mean, he can do anything. I'm not saying that he's like this overpowered thing, but he's kind of a character that can be injected into any story or any timeline through, whether it's, through magic or science or technology, advanced technology. He can go anywhere. We've talked about him even time traveling at certain points. Matt and I have discussed that. So, yeah, he can go anywhere, and I'd love to take him anywhere that I'm awarded to do so. But I will say this, the one place I've always wanted to take Dr. Crow, since he's never been, I'd love to take him to the United States. He's never been to the United States. And I mean that in a way that I'd like to take him to the, because he's in the 1800s, or he's 1880s. I'd like to take them to 1880s Old West, where it's just the turn of the time, the century. You get a little bit of technology out there mixing with the old outlaws of the Old West, and maybe, you know, we see some familiar faces popping up. That would be a dream come true for me, because obviously Nora would be right at home in that atmosphere, and as a writer and a diehard Western fan, I'd love to take my boy Dr. Crow there.
How do you think Dr. Crow feels about gators?
Gators? Like, yep. Alligators?
Yep.
Oh, man. You know what? Dr. Crow respects animals. He's the man. He's, you know, I never thought about this before, but he's probably a vegan, man. I bet you he doesn't even eat animals at all. He's very respectful of them. In one of the stories, even when he has to battle the plague-ridden werewolf, in one of the stories that Matt drew, he doesn't want to hurt the thing. Like, he wants to help cure this thing, and it forces him to take him down, you know? That's just the kind of approach he has, and I think he's the same thing to animals, and gators fall in that category, so I think he would treat gators rather humanely.
I'm only asking because I'm very happy that Kentucky beat Florida yesterday.
Hey, I think a lot of people are. I'm not a big football man myself. When it comes to Kentucky, I love Kentucky basketball. But hey, UK's still winning, I'll take it.
I think you kind of spilled the beans earlier that Taylor's going to be coming back. You know, just, or at least you're going to try to make Taylor come back.
I'll say this. If we get the chance to do more Dr. Crow stories, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, then Taylor is absolutely the only person I want to letter those. Moving forward, that's how much I trust him. Something cataclysmic would have to happen for me not to put him on any creative team that I'm in charge of moving forward. That's how much I trust Taylor Esposito.
If you found out that Taylor, I'm trying to think of something. If you found out that Taylor was a diehard Duke basketball fan and thought that Kentucky was just a lucky school, would you still hire him to do lettering?
I mean, I think less of him, but I would still hire him. Yes, that's how talented he is. But don't think I wouldn't give him some crap about it.
I couldn't think of anything else that wouldn't actually be horrible. Obviously, I'm assuming there are some things he, in theory, could do, but just from seeing him on Twitter and stuff, I don't think he would actually do any of them.
No, he's deep down, he's a terrible, terrible person. Don't be fooled by the rocks that he's got. He's still Jane from Block.
I don't know how things are going to be coming out, so I don't want to say anything about how I'm going to be talking to him later. How much of the rest of the creative team is going to be coming back? Or at least are you going to try to bring back?
Man, I'd love to try to bring back as many people if we get the chance to.
This is all assuming that you get that you're going to do it, because it's just easier to talk like that.
Yes, absolutely. If I do get the chance to, then I would love to bring back as many of the original crew as possible. Those are the guys that, you know, we battled through the trenches to get this thing out there, and those are the guys that I trust. Not to say that I wouldn't welcome any male, female, any other kind of artist or that hasn't worked on Dr. Crow before, but I would definitely go to my go-to crew before, looking outside. That being said, I do feel like no matter what we do, Dr. Crow going forward, Matt Horak will be involved in some capacity. He is co-creator of the character after all. He did write one of the stories. He's the only other person other than me to actually write Dr. Crow, so that's pretty cool. Oh, I take that back. No, because Tom Ward wrote Dr. Crow in the crossover, but he's the only person to write Dr. Crow in the miniseries other than me. Those are the guys I probably say are 100% back if we do get the chance.
Well, I'm excited that you're going to at least attempt to bring back the people that had success with it before.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm a loyal guy. I'm loyal to a fault, to be honest. People will tell you that. That's why I It sounds like I'm like tooting my own horn here, but because I'm don't feel like I'm a good friend, but people tell me I'm a good friend because of that. Like, I'll stand up for you even if I know you're wrong, just because you're my friend, sort of fault of loyalty. So I've got that going for me. So sometimes that works in my favor, sometimes it doesn't. Fortunately, with creative teams, it definitely has.
So we'll have a few lighthearted questions to wrap this up. First off, if you had listened to episodes before going on here, you would have been ready for this one, but you didn't, so you're not. Who's your favorite Muppet?
That's a tough question. There's so many Muppets. Actually, you know, I used to work for a guy named David Jose, who actually studied under Jim Henson and is a huge Muppet fan. So I know a lot of Muppets' names, probably more than I should know, but I'm probably going to go with Gonzo. I've always been a Gonzo fan. So I'm gonna stick with Gonzo.
Gonzo is a good choice. And I feel like his loyalty to his chickens matches up with your loyalty to your friends.
I would agree. And you know, something cool about Gonzo is the Yoda puppet from Empire Strikes Back, he was wearing Gonzo's pants. You didn't see them because they weren't on camera, but he had Gonzo's pants on.
Oh,
so there's
so
a little trivia fact for you. Gonzo and Yoda shared pants.
Well, I was going to ask you what the most useless fact is that you know, but I think that covers that.
Yeah, that probably is, actually.
So instead, what's the most ridiculous thing that you've ever found yourself doing while procrastinating?
Oh, man. I procrastinate hardcore. Like, it's a problem sometimes. So this is a good one. I will put off doing stuff all the time. I mean, you can ask Mike how he's been trying to get stuff from his Kickstarter from me, and I'll tell you, I mean, I'm not ignoring the guy, but sometimes I am procrastinating, I'll admit. The weirdest thing I've found myself doing, you know, in my spare time, I like to build Star Wars dioramas. So how about that? Is that a weird thing? Building custom Star Wars action figures and dioramas to prevent me from doing real work?
I think that's a cool thing. So
yeah, but it's
what we're going to get.
Yeah. So if you want to see more of that, though, you can Google Sandcrawler Customs. That's my moniker for all my customers. So check that out, too.
Well, now you're just jumping ahead.
I am.
Because it has been great talking to you about all of this. And despite the audio issues, which hopefully nobody notices while they listen to all of this, it really has been. So if people want to hear more from you, where else can they find you around the internet?
Oh, on the interwebs, you can find me on Twitter at Corey Fryia. That is CoreyFryia. I used to tweet a bunch. Don't tweet so much anymore, but I will be here soon with all the Dr. Crow stuff coming out. So hopefully I can get back engaged and become part of the comics Twitter conversation. On Instagram, I am at CFPunk. And if you want to find some of my Star Wars custom works, just Google Sandcrawler Customs. Anything you see that is Sandcrawler Customs with a giant Sandcrawler from Star Wars, that's that big brown thing with the Jawas right in, that's me. That's my work. So check that out, too, because that's my other passion. I love doing that stuff.
Well, as always, we'll have links to all that stuff down in the show notes, including a link to the Kickstarter, whether it be the kind of pre-campaign page, if I get really fast at it in this, or the actual campaign where you can give them your money in return for a good comic and other things to be determined later.
Yes, please, please fund us. If this is your right now, like, man, I've waited years to get this going, so please help me out. I appreciate it. It would be, you're helping a good guy for a good cause. How about that?
As always, if you want to hear more from me, head on over to playcomics.com, where you can find links to all the social media things. Mostly Play Comics Cast on Twitter, playcomics.com/Discord to get over to the Discord part, which is part of the Gonna Geek Discord, because, you know, Play Comics is part of the Gonna Geek network of podcasts, which is home to a bunch of wonderful geeky shows. You should go check all of them out. If you want to support Play Comics, though, stick on the Play Comics website, go to playcomics.com/support, or really just go support this Kickstarter, because then I get to see people get things done that I want to see get done, and you're kind of tertiarily supporting me, because I get to have this comic in my hand after it gets funded. If you like the music that I'm really talking on top of right now, head on over to soundcloud.com/best-day to check out Best Day's music. But most of all, just grab a game, grab a stack of comics, and go find yourself a new favorite character. Okay, so this is recording now. I just want to let you know so you know.
Sure.
Because I can't make this start again on the web thing. But I have a backup that I do on my computer. Hey, it's spooky season, so I completely forgot to ask you this question because I was so scared. I don't know what I was scared of, but we're going to roll with that anyway. What advice do you have for somebody looking to get into making comics?
I don't... you know, I've spent this podcast talking about how great is the relationship I've had with Mike and 215 Inc., but don't feel like you have to have a publisher to get your comics done. Don't feel like that's the end all be all, and not even have, don't feel like you have to have your books in shops to even matter. You can just make a book, whether you print it yourself or you draw it yourself on your own, leaflet paper. That's still making comics. That still counts. So don't let anything stop you from creating. Don't set some artificial goal of what it takes to be successful. You sit down and you put pen to paper, you start drawing, you start writing, you start coloring, you start lettering, that matters. So the more people that go out there and do that and just, keep plugging away, put their blinders on and focus on being the best that they can be, that's all it takes to really make comics. Leave all the drama out. That stuff is just going to cloud your mind and it's going to bring you down. Focus on the fun, focus on the comic work.
All right, I think I hear the ghost coming back, so we should run away.